prayer. We hear you, O God. Every day, you find new ways to interrupt our lives, to jolt us from routine and invite us, call us to something new, to something amazing. Open our hearts to truly accept that call, to find the joy that you have for us in this life. We ask this and all things in the strong name of our brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're close now. We're so close. Just a week and a day, and we'll be there. We've been getting pumped for what feels like months with decorations and music. The radio station that I listen to has been straight Christmas music since December 1st. And you'd think that you'd get tired of it, but I don't. And I have to be honest, no matter how many times that I hear it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, no matter the artist, because there's a few, I eagerly wait to sing one line, just one line in that song. I know the words to pretty much the whole song, but there's one line that I love, and it's, "There's a tree at the Grand Hotel, and one in the park as well, the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow." I don't know why. I love that line. And I wait for it every time, and I hear it four or five times a day on the radio. Along with the stores getting us ready with decorations and the radio getting us ready with music, we've been doing some preparing in this place as well. The season of Advent is about us getting us ready. Ready for Christ to be born into the world, yes, but more than that, it is about getting us ready to be the bearers of that light ourselves. Each Sunday, we've been lighting candles to symbolize something that God is stirring to life in us and in the world. And each Sunday, we've been reminded through scripture and prayer and preaching that God has been doing this work for a long time. That God never gives up on this work. On that first Sunday, we were shown that in the midst of darkness and struggle, God's light never stopped shining. Habakkuk cried out to God, and God's answer was that our hope in the face of brokenness, that hope is not in vain. There is still a vision, God said, and it is coming. You'll see. The story continued last week in the book of Esther as we heard Mordecai's cry for justice and Esther's initial hesitation. Her, "What can I do?" In the face of death, Esther eventually stood with her people, living into the story of a peace that is deeper than the absence of conflict. It is a peace that comes only when justice reigns, a peace that comes from God. A peace that we cannot find ourselves absent of God's guidance. Hope in spite of great strife. Peace born from acts that demand justice. Not our typical Advent stories, but they are exactly the right kind of stories that we need to hear as we ready ourselves for the coming Christ. These are stories that speak of a world that needs God to break in, to set it on the path to light. They also remind us a lot of our world, the need that it has for such a light. And if we're being really honest, it reminds us of ourselves. Those times when we've cried out to God, giving up on hope just before the dawn. When we've seen injustice and failed to see the strength that God has placed in us to stand up. Today, we are confronted by God again in Scripture. Because in the reading from Isaiah, we hear of the kind of person that God is actively lifting up to shine that light of hope and bring that true peace. When we as Christians hear this passage, we immediately think of Christ and the work of his life, the servant to God that he was even unto death, and the great gift of new life that comes with his resurrection and our promise of new life. If we're trying to find something to be joyful about, this seems like a pretty good place to start, right? How could we not be filled with joy at knowing the lengths to which God will go, even in the fragile and broken form of a human being, even when those lengths go to the edge of life and beyond? Yes, from the words of Isaiah to the life of Christ, we should feel a deep sense of joy at such a love. But not just for these reasons. As I mentioned earlier, this Advent season is about getting us ready, body and soul, for the inbreaking of God into our lives and our bearing of a holy light to the world. It's about getting us ready to respond and act, not just sit back and watch. Does that remind you of another story? A story infused with joy in the face of the unexpected call of God? I'm not talking about the story of a man, of a prophet or a prince, but of a young girl. I'm talking about the story of an encounter with an angel, of an invitation, and of joy in abundance. Mary wasn't like others who were confronted by God and given that monumental task of sharing a message. The prophets who came before her were no more or less worthy than Mary, and many came from stations in life akin to her own, pretty low. But there is a significant difference between Mary and all those before her upon whom God's call was placed. Can you guess what that difference was? Anybody? In the months since September, we've heard a lot of stories about prophets, so this shouldn't be that hard. What's the difference between Mary and all those prophets? She was a woman. Yes, she was. Yes, she was a woman. But there's one other difference. She said yes. Almost right away, she said yes. Sure, her first response to the angel was the question, how? How can it be that I'm to bear a child since I'm a virgin? How? But when the angel's answer was, with God all things are possible, she said yes. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Others refused God's call, denying what God saw in them, and some even ran for all the good it did them. But Mary said yes. And it wasn't a tepid, hesitant yes. It was a yes filled with such joy that she burst into song. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. That is the joy that comes from walking faithfully with God, from following God into the darkness with only the divine spark that burns within you, and the surety that through it all, the strife, the struggle, you are not alone. It's a joy that comes when we realize that the prophet Isaiah isn't just talking about the chosen people of Israel as God's servant, that the prophet isn't just alluding to some future Messiah who would be called Emmanuel, God with us. It's the joy that comes when we realize that Isaiah is talking about us, about the things that we can do, the things made possible with God. But none of this is conventional joy. It's not the joy that you might feel on Christmas morning when you get that present you've been hinting at for months. It's not finally getting that grade back from a professor who waited until the very last day, the very last moment to submit. It's not even the joy that you feel reuniting with a loved one after years apart, or just seeing your partner at the end of a day that's felt like years. These are all great things, but just like the peace that the world offers is nothing like the peace that comes from Christ, so too is the joy that comes from worldly things different from the joy we find in our service to God. God has lifted you up. God has held your hand. In you, God delights. Because God has chosen you, all of you, each of you, to bring hope to the hopeless, to bring peace to a world of injustice. God has chosen you to be bearers of the light. Will you carry it? Will you let that light take hold in you and shine to the world? Will you say yes to God with such joy in your heart that it can only be expressed in song or interpretive dance? Habakkuk tells us to hold out hope, because no night is so long that it can hold back the dawn, and God is bringing forth such a light. Esther tells us to be agents of peace, because God's kingdom is coming and we are laying the stones. Isaiah tells us to be joyful, because God has chosen us for this work and so much more. Are you ready yet? Because Christ is coming, and we're the ones tasked with preparing the way. Amen.